This is the LA Local Evening Update, keeping you caught up with the latest from KNX News. Check back each weekday afternoon for the LA Local's full daily briefing on what you need to know in SoCal.
Good afternoon, I'm Rob Archer. We're all about the World Series and the traffic headaches from several other major events happening at the same time. Also, what's going on with major newspapers deciding not to endorse a presidential candidate? Is it fear or is it something else? But first, we're just minutes away from the first pitch of Game 1 of the World Series at Dodger Stadium. Dodgers playing the Yankees, and that's just one of six major events happening in L.A. and Inglewood tonight. That means lots of traffic. Pete DiMatteo right now live at Union Station.
The traffic has sort of eased out a little bit. The vast majority of people who needed to get here for the Dodger game are here, but they didn't wait until the last minute. Sandra Solis is with Metro. I talked with her Patsouras Plaza, as people were getting on board the Dodger Express headed up to the stadium.
Normally, game time comes, people start getting here about an hour before the game. You said that wasn't the case tonight.
Correct.
What did it look like?
People started arriving at Union Station 3.5 hours prior to game time.
Is it the fact that it's a World Series, or they were worried about the traffic crunch also?
Could have been both, but we were prepared.
But you had a solid flow of passengers coming in.
Yes, sir.
Did Dodger Stadium open up a little early, as far as you know?
They did.
They realized what was going
to
happen.
They opened up 30 minutes prior to what they anticipated.
What do you think is going to happen on people going out of here after the game? Is it going to be a little chaotic?
Yes. That's all I can say.
You're being polite.
Correct. There's a lot going on in the city, but we're going to try the best that we can to get our passengers out safely.
And I can imagine that you're still going to have traffic jams are upcoming all the way through the next few hours, because keep in mind, Crypto, you've got the Lakers game at the Coliseum. You've got USC versus Rutgers. It's going to be a tough commute in and around here for probably the next 6 hours.
Thank you, Pete. All three of Inglewood's big venues have events tonight as well. Natalie Tavidian right now live at SoFi Stadium.
Hi, Rob. So the East LA Classic is here at SoFi Stadium, and these Garfield students, they were so worried that they'd miss the kickoff, they showed up 4 hours early.
It was full. Like, we would have gotten here later if it wasn't for the carpool, honestly. But, like, I thought we were never going to get here because of how long it was taking.
So yeah. How many miles is that, more or less?
It was about 12 miles, actually. It's, like, less than a 20-minute drive, usually. But, wow, terrible. Yeah.
On a normal day, this would have taken you 20 minutes.
Definitely, yes.
So why are you guys here so early?
You just wanted to make sure we got to enjoy most of the things that are here. We know people have been preparing for this. It's a big deal. We want to appreciate, you know, the cheerleaders, everything they have prepared for us. So we didn't really want to come in too late. We wanted to, like, look at everything.
Now you're relaxed and can enjoy the game.
Yeah.
And the Black Eyed Peas are performing here at halftime. Now, the three venues with events, Rob, here in Inglewood are the Intuit Dome, Kier Forum, and SoFi Stadium. All three combined, they could seat over 100,000 people.
California's House Republicans now trying to stop the state from implementing some new policies that will increase the price of gas. They sent a letter to the State Air Resources Board demanding a delay in November 8th vote on policies that call for tighter carbon reduction to help fight climate change. Republicans say they want more transparency. Yucaipa Republican State Senator Rosalicia Ochoa Bogue tells us she and other state Republican lawmakers sent the board a list of questions, but the board hasn't addressed them yet.
They did send out earlier this week a fact sheet for what they're going to be doing with this regulation. But what they did not do is provide what we wanted at the very top of the list. Is we wanted transparency as to what this vote will mean for Californians at the gas pump.
Pass Air Resources Board estimate finds the price of gas could jump about 50 cents a gallon if it approves these new policies. A spokesperson told the LA Times it had no response to the House letter, but the scheduled vote is due to required state timelines to move a rulemaking to a vote. Prosecutors filed charges against a man from Hawthorne accused of sexually assaulting and trying to kidnap an 11-year-old girl in Wilmington. He's accused of attacking her. She walked home from school Monday near M Street and Gulf Avenue, came up from behind, touched her, then tried to take her with him before some residents nearby intervened. forcing him to run away. DA George Gascon praised the people who stepped in to help. The VA is appealing a judge's ruling ordering thousands of housing units to be built on the West LA campus. It wants to overturn the order to build temporary and permanent housing for homeless veterans after Judge David Carter invalidated the leases with UCLA and a private school. The attorney representing the Department of Justice said the government would file an emergency motion next week asking the judge to stay his order pending a decision by the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals. In the same hearing, Judge Carter indicated he might soon temporarily allow UCLA's baseball team to resume using the Jackie Robinson Stadium, which he had closed while they tried to negotiate a permanent settlement with the UCLA. Orange County Sheriff mourning the loss of former Sheriff Brad Gates. Don Barnes says that Orange County lost a legend and the department lost one of its most beloved family members. Gates passed away this morning at the age of 85. He served from 1975 to 1999, taking the helm only 14 years into his law enforcement career. Sheriff Barnes' statement, quote, Brad Gates epitomized the best of a lawman. He led with integrity, possessed tremendous strength, and stood tall in defense of the public he was sworn to serve. History books will record Brad Gates as Orange County's 10th sheriff, but he will always rank as the top lawman in the hearts of those he so ably led. We're going to go in depth with a candidate for president, but it's not Donald Trump or Kamala Harris. That is coming up as Nonstop News 5 continues, presented by My Lemon Law Lawyer. Text Lemon to 40333 for a free case review.
Campaign 2024
on KNX News 97.1 FM.
Well, the Washington Post is now joining the LA Times in not endorsing a presidential candidate. That breaks decades of tradition for the Post. Newspaper published an article saying that editorial page staffers had drafted an endorsement of Kamala Harris, but the decision not to publish was made by the owner, Jeff Bezos. With us now to talk about the implications of that is Jane Hall, professor in the School of Communications at American University in Washington, D.C., also author of a book called Politics and the Media, Intersections and New Directions. Thanks for joining us.
Glad to be with you.
All right. Some critics of the decision not to endorse a candidate say what's happening is what they call anticipatory obedience. They're afraid of Donald Trump's comments about going after media he doesn't like. Are these billionaire owners of the LA Times and the Washington Post hedging their bets in case Trump wins, or is it something else?
I think that if you look at the evidence, that phrase, which comes from the book On Tyranny, about how authoritarian figures push where they can push, and they people surrender in anticipation of what might happen. And I think you have a lot of pressure already from Donald Trump on Jeff Bezos about merger that he was, you know, there have been a number of things. He has contracts, TV station licenses are also something that the Nixon administration went for during the Watergate controversy. Donald Trump is out there threatening the media, saying he's going to put the regulatory state to work, frankly. I mean, that sounds very ominous, but that comes from dictators, and it comes from Viktor Orban. It comes from this kind of pressure on the media that they have been withstanding. I mean, that is what is so terrible. You know, under the previous editor, Marty Baron, they won Pulitzer Prizes and investigated the January 6th and many other Pulitzer Prize winning stories. They have been editorializing, but now it appears that a new publisher who comes from the Murdoch regime is being dictated to. I mean, there's no way that this doesn't at least look that way. And it has a chilling effect on newspapers and journalists. I mean, frankly, it's very disturbing. What am I supposed to tell young people that I teach? Go into journalism and maybe your owner will abandon you.
But from the other side, do newspapers endorsing presidential candidates matter? Because we have a media and opinion saturated world. Some of these newspapers in question are running opinion pieces, and they're quite clear which side they come on, and they run them for both sides. Does it even matter that they endorse a presidential candidate or not?
Well, you know, I take your point. And I think what is important, newspapers like the LA Times and the Washington Post what they do is going to be reported. And so if this is news that Fox News is trumpeting, this is news that Donald Trump is trumpeting, and he's already saying they're biased, and wow, even the newspaper that we have already been attacking is saying that you should be for me. So it has an effect all through the media environment. This will be making news, and it is not, in my view, good for journalism for this to appear that they are not making some kind of an independent editorial choice between what they have been reporting on. It is independent from what they've been reporting on, but it seems to indicate we're making a choice. And we are trying to anticipate that if Donald Trump wins, we're hoping he won't go after us. I mean, that's the message.
All right. Jane Hall, a professor in the School of Communication at American University in Washington, D.C. Thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
Jill Stein's been called a spoiler candidate for Democrats. Why is she running for president? We talked to her on our Countdown 2024 show. And you'll hear that coming up as Nonstop News at 5 continues. There is a candidate that's running for president for the third time in a row who is not named Donald Trump. Since 2016, Jill Stein has been the Green Party candidate for president. Earlier, she talked with Charles Feldman and Mike Simpson on Countdown 2024 about being labeled a spoiler candidate for the Democratic Party.
I think it's fair to say, and maybe you'll disagree, but I think that if you look at the different policies that you have and that Kamala Harris has and Donald Trump has, you're probably closer to Kamala Harris, at least in some areas, than you are to Donald Trump.
According yes? to the prevailing propaganda, yes. But if you actually look at the details, I'd say no, because the Democrats...
Well, who are you closer to then? Which one?
I'm closer to the American people, so much closer to the American people that both candidates are terrified of our getting out there and being discovered.
Well, Donald Trump doesn't seem too worried. I mean, he says, I actually like her because 100% of what she's going to do, she's going to take from Kamala Harris.
Well, actually, the polls are now showing, in fact, that we're taking from Donald Trump because the support for Harris has already left the room. And that is the Muslim American and Arab American voters. In fact, remember, abandon Biden and abandon Harris was about abandoning these candidates. That already happened. Now, those voters are deciding, are we voting for Donald Trump or are we going to vote for Jill Stein? So we are currently taking votes from Donald Trump. And that's what two most recent polls cited by Newsweek and also by Breaking Points in the last week are showing. So how much, you know, why is it that the political pundits are trying to manipulate this election and drive home a particular point of view? You know, it's really not decisive. What really matters most, where we draw our votes from, are largely those voters who aren't otherwise voting. It is a mythology perpetrated by the Democrats who do not want competition. So instead, they are throwing us off the ballot. They admitted they were hiring an army of lawyers in order to try to nitpick us. They did not succeed. And when they didn't succeed, then they started this this smear campaign. In fact, they gave they are instructing.
Right. Okay. But Dr. Stein, one of the either Trump or Harris is going to win this one. Which one would bother you the least?
Is there no lesser of two evils thing?
Yeah,
who's the least worst?
I believe we have two greater evils. Both, one is conducting genocide and the other promises to finish the job. And both, and particularly the Democrats, are leading the charge on censorship, on bashing the heads of innocent protesters, of calling out the cops who've been trained by none other than the Israeli occupation forces, who are now in the business of training local police, who are then trained in these cop cities, which are these horrible centers of militarized policing, which has been thoroughly embraced. And our local police forces are being militarized. Yes, Trump is threatening to bring in the military. And the Democrats, in the meanwhile, have militarized our local police. So this is a terrible thing, not just for the young people who are standing up and who are dropping out by the droves. You know, polls of young people now, half of them say they are hopeless about the future. One quarter say they've actually considered harming themselves within 2 weeks of the poll. This is what This is what we have brought through a politics that is bought and paid for by Wall Street, the war machine, and AIPAC.
All right, you want to catch the rest of today's Countdown 2024, a replay airing tonight at 8 o'clock. KNX News drops a new live episode every weekday at 2:30 and leading all the way up to the election. You can find Countdown 2024 anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts. That's your nonstop news 5 for Friday, October 25th, presented by My Lemon Law Lawyer. Text LEMON to 40333 for a free case review.